Shot still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Siddle scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with a Falkirk Bairns. This week, four, not three, was the magic number as we look back at that comfortable win up in Peterhead and, of course, looking ahead to that game against Montrose at the weekend. We've got a big question which we'll get into a wee bit later on, but first let's introduce a man who's completely gutted that Eurovision didn't go to Glasgow. That might not be true. It's Ross Wayne. You all right, mate?
Hey, sir, how are we doing? You all right?
I am all right. I'm actually quite gutted that Eurovision isn't coming to Glasgow. I thought, you know, it's... You're not fussed. But it's like typical Scotland, you know, the odds were in our favour. It was going to be 70% chance we were getting it. Come on. And there's fucking Graham Norton at the back post with a last-minute header. And then it goes to Liverpool. Disappointing.
Exactly. No, listen, it is what it is, but...
It is what it is. It's still like a football manager.
Eurovision's not my cup of tea at all, I'm not going to lie to you.
You know, I came
out of Eurovision. It's proper tacky, though, isn't it? Proper tacky. But the proper European question is about the draw today. That's the Euros we should be concentrating on.
There we go. I was watching the draw live. I was on the radio this morning. I work on Clyde 2. We're recording this on a Sunday, by the way, just so you know. But I was on, I go across, like, I work with Fred McCauley on a Sunday, and, like, I was watching the draw live and just swearing when Norway came out. I'm just like, oh, my God, Odegaard and Haaland up against Jack Henry and Grant Hanley. Oh,
it's not going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be easy. But do you know what? Let's take Monaghan especially. I know I tweeted this morning saying it would be typical Scotland if we'll actually probably do quite well against Spain and Norway and stuff. And then it'll be plucky Cyprus that would come struggling.
Plucky
against
Cyprus. That's a word that's always used against Scotland's opponents. The word plucky is always. Exactly. And Falkirk as well, to that man, it matter. Well, but yeah, it's not. It hasn't. It hasn't been that way recently. But listen, Ross, we've got to talk about last week's show. Obviously, Kenny and Keith, and again, thanks to them for coming on, putting themselves in the firing line after that email. We've had a big response to the show, a lot of people listen, a lot of people watching it on YouTube. So thanks to everyone that's done that. But I think there was some, you know, once we got past the apology, once we got past that email, there was some big points made and just shows you how almost desperate, you know, I'm using the word desperate there, but the situation that we're in, we're £400,000 whole at the moment. I believe there's been a bit of an influx into the Falkirk Support Society as a result of that.
Yeah, so up until the podcast last week, I believe they were kind of hovering about the 500 mark, so they've added another 10% onto that. So another 50 Bairns fans have been able to sign up in the last week, which is amazing. I don't think, some people may go, oh, it's still a small number, but actually it's 10% of what was already there. So no, I think that's really, really good news. I believe there was quite a lot of people making one-off donations and stuff as well through the Supporter Society, which again is always going to be good because it means that we can obviously have the shares as a Falkirk support collective. So absolutely fantastic news. I'm sure that'll keep growing as well.
Well, it needs to, I mean, as Keith and Kenny said, we need at least 1,500 into that to make this stool, so-called three-legged stool, work. So, you know, we need to grow that. And, you know, if we, you know, like they said, if we don't get promotion, if we, you know, we're going to have to look at selling or, you know, again, moving to a hybrid stroke part-time model, which is, we don't want to see. As Falkirk, no. Because it's a hard task getting back from that. Once you're into that model, look at, for example, Airdrie. You know, getting back, they've been stuck in this league for so long now, you know, and actually for most of my lifetime have been a championship, even a Premier Division team, and you know, look at how long they've been languishing in this league for. So, you know, when you go down that road, it's a hard road to get back to.
100%, 100%. The boys obviously probably used it as a worst case scenario last week when they were talking to us about it. But you're right, it's not a road we want to go down. Even if it was hybrid rather than full on part time, I think it would really, really set us back. Even though we've been set back quite a bit over the last sort of 3-4 years, I think it would be even worse. So everything that can be done just now. So as the guy said last week, if you can spend an extra tenner in the shop or upgrade to hospitality or just whatever the case may be, buying a 50-50 ticket every home game, every little helps kind of eating into this as well. It sounds like hospitality has had a bit of a bump from speaking to Graham Carbis, who's one of the commercial guys. He was saying that they've had a bit of a bump from a hospitality perspective. I think the club actually put it out during the week that there's quite a few of the kind of coming games sold out in really, really limited spaces and some of the other ones. So the Falkirk fans, as we always have done, are kind of coming to the fore. So amazing. Really well done.
Well, let's hope so, because, you know, it is, you know, in a time, we've got to remember the times that we're living in at the moment, obviously, cost of everything flying up, electricity, gas, you know, people struggling to get mortgages. And you've got to remember the times we're in. And unfortunately, like the guy says, it is what it is. And, you know, even though we're in these times, we still have to look, they have to come out and look for money, because otherwise, like you say, we're an absolute hole at the moment. So fingers crossed,
as you say, John. Their plan A, as we said last week, is probably quite ambitious, but do you know what? I'm sure the Falkirk fans will do what they can. Not everyone's going to be in a position to maybe join up to the supporter society, but there will be a number that can. There will also be a number of people that might approach the club to buy shares as well. And I think it's really important that, so whilst the club can't advertise the fact that they've got shares for sale, we can talk about it. So if a normal fan who doesn't maybe want to put their money in through the supporter society, which is absolutely fine if they don't, and they want to go and buy some shares in their own right, in their own name, they can do that as well. They just need to contact the club and they can do that. So there's lots of opportunity for fans to be able to do that. And as I said, even if it's not shares and it's people buying something at the shop or buying a pint in the Brockville bar on a Saturday or buying a 50-50, whatever people can do, I know it's going to be really, really appreciated, which is what we need, because we need to try and get through this. We've got a cracking team in the park just now, and we really need to kind of try and keep the club going in that upward trajectory, definitely.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And talking of the Falkirk Supporters Society, Falkirk Daft are getting involved. Falkirk Supporters Society are now in conjunction with the club, kind of offering up hospitality draw once a month, and we're getting involved as well, Ross, aren't we?
We are indeed, yes. So the Supporters Society are obviously trying to make the deal as it is for joining as lucrative as they can. So obviously a lot of people are just happy to kind of be helping the club, but actually it's great if the club can maybe give a little bit back as well. So the board of directors, of which Keith and Kenny were here with us last week, they are offering two spaces in Boardroom Hospitality every month to a Falkirk Supporter Society member. So whether you're an existing member or a new member, you'll be included in that draw. And I believe Stuart, Adam and the guys at FSS, they want us to do the draw live towards the end of the month. So we'll do that on our sort of last podcast of the month. We're going to be able to help too. It's depending on the person. They might prefer our prize, John, which is a full-packed bucket of beer in the Brockville Bar pre-match at a game. who knows, it could be the Dunfermline game at the start of November as well, if they fancy it. So there'll be people who's maybe rather do that than hospitality. You know,
absolutely. But, second prize, so the Falkirk Daft. The Falkirk Daft beer bucket. That's what you want to be winning. So that's the prize everyone wants. So, listen, hopefully we can do a bit. And you know, again, just like you say, Ross, every little bit helps at the moment. Right, let's move on to other things that are going on. We need to talk about Kenny, who sent in this email to us, Ross. You're a fan of the Stone Island, obviously. And Kenny has said, if you see the visual version, I'll put up a picture right now on the YouTube version. If you're listening on the podcast, you'll have to check out the YouTube version. But it's a rather fetching yellow poncho type stone island going on here. And Kenny says, surely this is a purchase for Ross for the winter. Get a crowdfunder started, maybe?
Listen, I think I would need a crowdfunder because I'm sure that's a pretty penny. It's not a pretty garment, if I'm being honest. I don't know if that's one I could pull off, if I'm being honest, John.
The badge is right in forefront in the middle, though, Ross. You know,
it would be easy to get the badge in, but no, I'm looking at it now. I don't think that's going to be for me somehow. You can maybe try and get one for you, though, because you've mentioned Stone Island a few times now.
We should get sponsored by Stone Island, to be fair, you know. We should. So your hooliganism type outfit wouldn't stretch to a yellow kind of poncho then, Stone Island poncho?
It doesn't look great, if I'm being honest. There's obviously a few people that might wear it, but I've no idea how much that even costs. That's probably got $5,000 written all over it.
Probably.
It looks horrific, though. Maybe a Falkirk badge, that's maybe one for the club shop they could try and get in.
Talking about in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about in random encounters with Falkirk players. Our friend Karen's been in touch. Hi, Karen. She goes, hi, lads, loving the podcast. I have a few player encounters, including chasing Craig Nelson through Edinburgh Airport for a photo and having to wait for his Beamer to settle before we could take it, much to his wife's amusement. But my favourite was a Saturday night, mid-December in the early noughties. I was queuing for Rosie. Rosie's comes up on this question quite a lot, doesn't it? I was queuing for Rosie's and some random guys tried to skip. They were politely told to beat it. All except one. I spotted Neil Oliver amongst them and obviously let him in. My first words were, you were never offside. And we had a sad chat about what could have been. He told me he was playing for East Fife and they were due to play Stirling that day, so all he said to the squad to have their Christmas night out in Falkirk because it was a brilliant night out. The game got called off and they were all angry they had chosen Falkirk, but I'm sure they had a great night.
That, you know, that's class, absolutely class. That's good, Ollie, to kind of pick Falkirk for the night out. Obviously, the players would have been raging if the fact that the game is off, because they could have been in Newcastle or whatever. But
they're stuck at the
canteen and Rosie's.
Exactly. Classic Falkirk night out right there. Gary says, many a random meeting with players at players' events, Rosie's again, Dance on the Park in hospitality. Remember Dance on the Park? Jesus.
That was good. They were always good, weren't they?
Yeah, I never went to one. Yeah. I never went to one. I just always remember, obviously, it was
I went to the last one.
Did you?
Yeah, I was at the last one at Brockville, which would have been, 2003. But yeah, no, they were a good laugh. Messy. Very, very messy, if I'm being honest.
Aye. The guy didn't get to one. But Gary says, I met Crawford Brapte, Bruce Springsteen at Hampden over 10 years ago. I was at that gig. A hero of mine, I don't know if he's talking about the boss or if he's talking about Crawford Brapte, but he says he was with his son and asked if his son was also hard as fuck. I love that. Conversations come out. Big Cross said his son, who was a massive, big, strong lad, played American football. Does this count for the Sons 11 that which we're putting together a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, we could do. We could squeeze him on the bench. Do you know, I've just got this image of him chanting Crawford Baptist hard as fuck right at him at this gig.
John Bruce Springsteen.
Talking about.
Springsteen's on stage here. What the fuck are they talking about? The whole crowd starts shouting Crawford Baptist hard as fuck. Springsteen's sitting on stage completely confused. I was at that gig and I'm gutted. If I'd seen Big Crawford at that gig, it'd been better seen than the boss, I have to say. Not much news going on at the club. One news, again, it's probably a lookout for to try and get some extra coffers in, is that they've put two-thirds season tickets on sale. I guess by, you know, we usually go for half season tickets, but if you get a 2/3 season ticket right now, it means you're going to get the Dunfermline match at the start of November in that.
Do you know, I think that's a great idea. Just thinking outside the box, and listen, at the end of the day, as we heard from the guys last week, it's a time where we need to get mad. It's not as if we're taking, we're putting next season tickets on sale. That would be maybe be a bit of a worry.
Yeah.
It is tickets for this year. But I think that's a really good idea. Christmas is obviously going to be a tough time for a lot of people. For the half season tickets, which I'm sure there's usually a decent uptake as well. But actually this could be a, and with the way the team's playing, why not?
Why not?
Because if do you know what I mean? The crowds are looking really good. I think we're so close to getting probably a 4,000 crowd in at some point. And we certainly will
against Dunfermline.
That lot. Yeah, in November, if any, and it could be even be 6,000 or 7,000 in that day. But no, listen, I think that's amazing, absolutely amazing. And what did they say? I think they said there was 2,500 we've sold.
Yeah, 2,369 season tickets have been sold already. So you know, I mean, for a League One club, that is absolutely phenomenal. You know, I'm looking at the fixtures just now, Ross, and you're looking at, you know, you're talking about that 4,000 crowd. You know, Airdrie's obviously going to be over 4,000. I mean, unfortunately, you might have got over 4,000 at the Alloa game as well, but unfortunately, obviously, that's during the week. But so you won't probably get that, you know. But there's a few games in there. I mean, and then again, obviously, the Dunfermline game, you're going to be looking at 6,000.
Listen, you're going to have 6,000-7,000 there. The way it's going, this Edinburgh game could be a top of the table clash as well.
Oh God,
I'm not
yeah.
suggesting that Edinburgh's going to bring many through, but see if we beat Dunfermline, which oh God, we have to beat Dunfermline. The crowd the following week against Edinburgh.
If it's top, if it's so, yeah, if it's top of the table, yeah, absolutely, yeah, absolutely,
it'll be huge. So good to hear.
Absolutely. Right, let's get into the game itself from Saturday as we face Peterhead. And every week in Falkirk Daft, we get on a guest pundit. And this week, a man who reads... Every week, you'll read something from this guy because he writes for the Falkirk Herald. It's a sports reporter. It is Ben Kearney.
Thanks for having us on. Really looking forward to discussing the game at the weekend, which was a fantastic result.
No, absolutely. Yep,
happy with that.
Absolutely. And listen, again, thank you. You obviously ran the piece that we had with the directors, and any publicity for the podcast is always good. So thanks for that. And hopefully it gets more ears listening to the podcast. So Ben, you're obviously a young guy. You came out straight out of uni. Did you study journalism at uni then?
Yeah, sports journalism. There's only one course that does it in Scotland at UWS down in Ayr. My sins, I spent 3.5 years down in Ayr every day, which wasn't the most fun, but it eventually got what I needed. And then it was just the Falkirk Herald job was the first one that popped up that was kind of remotely interesting and based in sports. So I was like, why not? And it's obviously a big club to cover. Doesn't matter where they are right now, it's still one of the biggest clubs in Scotland, really, when you think about just in terms of fan base and size.
Yeah. How long have you been at the Herald, Ben?
It's been just over a year now. It's actually a year and one day. Yesterday was actually the kind of 1 year anniversary, so it's been an interesting time so far, as you can imagine.
And Falkirk rewarded you with a 4-0 win then. All good.
Do you know, it's amazing actually looking back. I've not done the exact arithmetic, but when I had a look, I think I've only seen Falkirk win maybe like 14 times or something like that, which is crazy considering I've been here. It just shows you how god awful last season was. I think coming into your job as well, it was kind of tough. You'd want your first job to probably be a bit easier and people be happy, whereas when I came in, it was right after that period where under Sheeran that you'd started well and then it just completely crashed and nobody really knew what was happening. So yeah, it wasn't the best time to start covering a football club, and it wasn't a particularly enjoyable first couple of months anyway, I can tell you that.
No, absolutely not. But you've had plenty. The thing is, a good thing for a reporter is when it's going tits up, there's plenty to write about, and that means it's probably better for paper sales as well, because when things are bad, paper sales tend to go up.
You're not kidding. Even in the literally, about, I think it was the second week, was when the famed Q&A took place. And I can remember it was the first time I'd ever covered an event as a journalist, and I think I wrote something maybe like 4,500 words of stuff. And then when I went onto the computer the next day, the editor was like, right, Ben, good job, but you need to put this down to 300 words. And I was like, oh, my God. There was just so much you could talk about. It was, like, just unbelievable. I never quite witnessed anything in my life.
Did the editor ask that as a question, or was that a statement?
I was waiting for that.
you said you referred to them there as you're and they, Bernie. Let's lay the cards on the table. You're not actually a Falkirk supporter, are you?
No, unfortunately, I actually support Hibs, which I suppose for the Falkirk supporters is probably enjoyable enough when you consider the last couple of years. I think maybe say Falkirk have won over Hibs. I've been to the Falkirk Stadium and I've been to Easter Road many a time and been very disappointed in the fact that Falkirk have absolutely done us over. I can remember under Houston, it just seemed like you just had the one over us, basically.
Yeah.
I can remember watching the team. I can remember we were in a wee bit of turmoil as well, fair enough, being in the Championship. But I can actually remember at that playoff game just before we'd won the Scottish Cup, that 3-2 game, I can remember thinking that this football club, Falkirk, they're going to overtake Hibs. They're on the trajectory. They're only going up and we're only going down. And I'd seen like guys like Luke Leahy and players like that and thought they're better than what we've got right now. We're in real trouble. And then somehow, I don't know how Falkirk are where they are now, considering even just after that season and how well they've done. It's crazy really that the club's managed to decline so much in such a short space of time. Crazy.
Well, you got an insight into it at that Q&A, Ben, so that's part of the reason we are where we are. But
however, Ben, you do follow the Bears everywhere they go, and you were up at Peterhead yesterday, so thanks for coming on. We'll have a look. I hold up my hands. I didn't make it up, and I didn't see the game. I've seen as the highlights. Ross, you saw the game. Ben was actually at the game. 4-0 to the Bears. Morrison, an own goal. Alegria and Big Hendo on the score sheet for the Bears. Going into the game unchanged after that victory against Clyde. Ben, come to you first because you were at the game. What did you make of it?
I thought it was a great performance from Falkirk. Probably one of the most assured performances I've seen in my whole time, just in terms of they felt completely comfortable throughout. I didn't really think Peterhead were going to score, even when they had maybe like two chances in goal. But even then, you just felt Falkirk were totally dominant. I think it was a very McGlynn performance as well. Even the first goal was exactly the type of goal you'd imagine they would score. It kind of reminded me of the one at East End Park as well, when Callum Morrison kind of gets himself free at one side of the box and it's passed across and he scores for about 2 or 3 yards. It was a very McGlynn performance. I think he was pretty happy after the game, out with Wan getting sent off, obviously, which was a bit daft. But I think overall that's one of the better performances I've seen from Falkirk and my time covering the club. It's one of them as well, Peterhead away. That was kind of the lead I used in the match report. They haven't won up there in over 2 years until then. It's the type of place you've got to go and pick up 3 points if you want to win this division.
I'm sorry, Ross, what are you thinking?
No, I couldn't agree more. I think that was a proper, going back to a statement point, it was a statement result because we have struggled up there the last few years. There's a few nil-nils up there as well, which is chronic for that length of journey. And obviously, did we not get pumped, absolutely pumped off them one night when it was Lee Miller and the Kraken's, maybe one of their last games as well. But no, I agree with Ben. I thought it was really, really professional. It was probably not the best we've played all season. But do you know what? We did enough. We could have scored another 6-7 goals on top of what we scored as well. And I don't think Peterhead fans would have complained too much. Well, they would have complained, but they wouldn't have been complained too much about the outcome had it finished that way. So, no, really, really comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we only went in 1-0 at half-time, but big chances, especially for Romain Birrell, that there's some big chances for him, and we should have been looking to add more goals to the Birrell collection, Ross.
Ah, John, there we go. You need to get the Birrell collection out. Yeah, do you know, he could have had a hat-trick, as you said. Kind of wasteful on Saturday. I do like him, though. I think he's properly got something about him. He's probably one of the first names in the team sheet. But yeah, looking back, watching it back, I think he'll be really, really quite critical of himself. Thankfully, we got out of it. We didn't miss the fact that we didn't really miss chances. But yeah, he could have had a hat-trick. And Callum obviously had another couple as well.
Yeah. What have you made of the emergence of Burrell at Falkirk, Ben?
I think he's been brilliant. I actually really like Ola as well. I think both of them kind of coming in at the same time. I think when you sign a player like that, your first thought is always right there. These guys are going to be duds. They're not going to do anything. But I think both of them have come in and really made an impact, especially in Armagh. Even like thinking back to the game at East End Park again, I think that was kind of the performance that showed just what he can do in terms of he just absolutely tore their defence apart. I think he's been excellent. Even the other day, he still played really well. Up in Peterhead, obviously, maybe the finishing wasn't quite there. But even kind of the first one I can remember when he gets played through, I think it was Liam Henderson, plays the ball over the top, the touch to take it past the Peterhead defender is just world class. Obviously, the finish wasn't there, but I think he's the type of guy that could score a lot of goals this season, and I wouldn't be surprised if Falkirk were already thinking in the back of their head, maybe we should be thinking about putting some sort of offer on the table to give him another year on.
I definitely would, Ben. I think he's worth another year, if not more. I know we've been burnt by that before, by kind of rushing in and giving someone a deal, but he started so well, and as you said, his first touch is pretty sexy, and it really is. Like he's got these guys on toast, and as John, you mentioned it last week as well, the ball's over the top, they can't handle him. They really, really can't.
No, I mean, when we're talking about the model, and I was speaking to Keith and Kenny, the model is to get back to what we were good at doing, is finding these players, selling them on at a fee. You know, he's certainly one that you look in that starting 11 and you look across the squad that is worth that, so we can make some money on him, because come the end of the season, he's out of contract, he goes to a championship club, you know, and, you know, hopefully we're in the championship, right, in saying that, but maybe he goes up to a premiership club, because if he's doing well at us, people start looking at him. So yeah, I would absolutely agree, it's definitely worth getting him on a deal. First goal, Gary Oliver off the line, we could have been 1-0 down. Ball, again, we've got a very similar goal when Nicky Hogarth looks up the park, finds Burrell there as well. And, you know, Nesbitt with another assist, 7 assists for Nesbitt this season, by the way. That's some great numbers for him. And Morrison there at the back post just to knock it in. Much to the delight of Falkirk Daft, because we have his goal sponsorship, so we were delighted. So Callum was choosing the steak on Saturday, Ross.
Multiple steaks this season, John. I think, that's going to be some steak bill at the end of the season.
Oh, God, isn't it just... if I ever meet Callum Morrison, I'm really going to have to apologise. I'm just take him down to the butcher's and, right, okay, whatever steak you want, Callum, you choose.
Well, the rumour is he knows where we sit, so that'll be interesting if he ever runs over and celebrates.
Lifts up a t-shirt with a steak on it. I'm like, shit, sorry.
Just a steak and him going.
Well, listen, great for Callum, obviously get the goal there. And again, just we should have had more going at that first half. And that's what you feel with Falkirk, Ben. I don't know, obviously, you're looking at it, you just feel with the chances we're getting, we should be more comfortable than we are, but we just make it harder for ourselves. You know, 1-0 up at half-time, it should have been 2 or 3, really.
Oh, no, 100%. It's interesting, even listening to kind of other podcasts and things like that kind of cover the low leagues in Scotland, and everybody's saying the same thing. I think most people are kind of tipping Falkirk now for the league, even though they're still kind of in this Falk's position, I suppose you would say, because they've played so well and so many matches out with two, really. And they just can't seem to... I know they're scoring goals. Even at the weekend, it was 4, but, I mean, it could have been 8 or 9 easily. Yeah. I mean, look at the shots on target. They've still had the most in the league. I think it's like 64 or something now, which is just that many shots on target. I mean, it's crazy, really, that they're creating so much in any league. I know they've obviously full-time, but I don't really think that matters too much when you look at the teams that are in the division and the quality that is there. It's just about how can they maybe like double the tally they're on just now in terms of goals, because it would be so easy to do, really, when you've got that quality in the team.
See that conversion, though, Ben? That's what I'm sure John will be working on, because as you've just said, we've put, what, 60, I think you said 64 shots on target now. We've scored, what, 15 or 16 goals. The conversion's not that great. But we are creating the chances, which, let's face it, for the last 2 or 3 years, we haven't created enough chances at all. So the fact that we're creating them is the best thing. But I just think sometimes, if can you imagine if we actually put the fair share of these chances away, we'd be finishing teams off within the first sort of 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the stats from Saturday there, 16 shots, 7 shots on target. So then you look at the conversion rate there, that's 4 goals out of those 7 shots, you know, so that's decent. So you're getting over 50% in. You can do the quick maths on that, Ross, of what actual percentage that is. 4/7, you do that. 4/7, do the maths. So it's not a bad return there. And hopefully, you know, we'll see more of that, because that was 4 goals on Saturday. Hopefully, going into Montrose, going into Alloa, going into Kelty, that we, you know, you start seeing, because we've said it so long, for the last few weeks, the last month, we've been flying, you know, and you just want, you thought someone's due a gubbin, and I think that 4-0, obviously on Saturday, was due. Would anyone disagree with that?
No. Definitely not. There's been a match like that coming for a wee while, I think. 100%. There is so, you can see where the goals can come in the team. It's just about actually doing it, and I suppose, and as you said, when you think about 7 shots on target, if you're scoring 4 goals, that's not a bad return. You're probably going to win most games if you're doing something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe we're saving our absolute cocking for Dunfermline at home. Can you imagine putting 5 or 6 past that lot? That would be awesome.
That would be beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Like, again, we talk about the strength of the bench, and that's a big difference this season, is when we look to the bench, there's options there. When our last few seasons, you've looked to the bench and went, oh God, who's coming on now? But, you know, Kai Kennedy, Allegri come off the bench and make a big difference. Obviously, Kai Kennedy, I think he's going to play himself into the side. Certainly, when he's come off the bench the last 2 weeks, he's looked good. Setting up one with Allegri, and was unlucky not to have the goal for himself when it came off the crossbar and off the keeper and in. But, Kai Kennedy really looks like he could play himself into the side, Ben.
Oh, 100%. Funnily enough, he was the guy I picked for post-match on Saturday. Just because I hadn't spoken to him before, but obviously when he came on, the performance he put in, and it basically exactly what he said, that you could imagine. He was like, look, I've been injured, but this is the time that you push into the team. I'm just going to, the strength in the squad is so great that all I can do is come on and make sure I'm at least scoring or getting an assist in a game, even if I'm coming off the bench, and then force my way into the team just by putting in those performances. And I think he definitely done that on Saturday. He'll probably give John a decision to make going into the Montrose game, especially when you've got the likes of Craig McGuffey, who I think have kind of had maybe an on and off season. I certainly don't think he's been bad, but at the same time, it's maybe you'll get, he's one of those players, I don't know if you guys agree, you'll get maybe one game where you think Craig McGuffey's the best player on the park, and he'll put in maybe eight or nine brilliant balls into the box and things like that, and then some of the other games you maybe don't notice that he's actually been on the pitch for 25.
I think last season, you know, you noticed McGuffey a bit more because I think what was around him was so poor. I think this season he's failed to kind of stand out where he did last season because there's better players around him. But that's made McGuffey a better player as well. But I would say, Ross, and I think we've talked about quite a bit, that's the one position that he would go. That's maybe where Kai Kennedy comes in. You maybe move Nesbitt into McGuffey's role and move Kai Kennedy out to that left-hand role. What are you thinking?
Do you know, it's great that we've got all these options. Brilliant that we're able to talk about this. I do think Kennedy could get a start on Saturday. Prior to that, we've obviously been talking about Lowell getting a start, but actually I think Kennedy's done enough when he's came on yesterday to force his way in. The cross in for Allegri was superb. The shot he had obviously was unlucky, it hit the bar, and then we're fortunate it hit the keeper. But do you know, it could quite as easily bounce down from the bar and went in. So no, he was a game changer, and he looks lively. He does. Yeah. He definitely looks lively. And I know we always look at players that come from maybe Rangers and Celtic, and there's that little bit of extra expectation on them. But John McGlynn's worked with this guy before. He knows what he can do. He wouldn't have brought him in if he didn't think he was good enough. He certainly looks good enough. And he just, like everybody, hopefully just finds that bit of consistency to get a run in the team.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Obviously, the goal made, you mentioned Rangers there, the goal made in Ibrox with Kai Kennedy and Allegri at the back post. Right, we've got to talk, speak about Juan. Obviously, comes off the bench, gets his goal, and gets sent off for two really, really stupid bookings. The first one, obviously, making his distance for a free kick. Then the second one, the most blatant dive since the Olympic Games. Jesus. Your boy Tom would have been impressed by that. It was horrendous, horrendous, horrendous. Again, a bit of an enigma, Allegri. I mean, is it going to be a big loss? So that's the problem. You know, he's two stupid bookings and he's getting sent off. And you think, Allegri, we really like Big Johnny. We really like Big Johnny Joy on this podcast. But you can't disagree with sending off, can you, Ross?
I don't think so. It was a silly, silly thing for him to do. I think Falkirk Dafty's kind of sewn up quite well by that.
I think there's only one option for the Falkirk Dafty this week.
You know, I think you're going to get some daft stuff like this maybe out of him. Obviously, I know he's countryman.
He's his Morelos' mate. Well, you expect so you expect it.
Yeah, but yeah, do you know? See, if it was 0-0, I could almost have understood why he was trying to get a penalty.
Aye.
But we're 4-0 up and he throws himself to the ground. And when you watch it back, he could have had a shot off, or he could have passed it. Like, there was no reason for him to just, like, it was like a sniper just absolutely shot him from a distance. And just a silly, silly thing. And he's now suspended against Montrose, which I think we've found a tough place to go, or a tough team to play against, beg your pardon, the last few seasons. Maybe this is the year that we're not going to struggle against these teams, though. But
well, we did this earlier on the season, so.
Well, it was. Do you know that game at the first game of the season? I thought that was a tight game that could have went either way. But we've got a hell of a lot better since then, hell of a lot better. And when you look at how they've not been that great, they haven't, like, they've struggled. Like, I know they won, but they've struggled the last couple of games as well. So I think if we can go up there and get 3 points, we've then got two home games next week. And I know I'm looking too far ahead, but I just think, can you imagine getting another 3 points on the road? It'd be brilliant.
Ross tweeted from the Falkirk Daft account, when Peter Head tweeted, Allegri is sent off for the world's most blatant dive in the area. Ross said not even close, as he then put pictures of Miles Hippolyte's dive against Dunfermline, which made me everyone else laugh, that's for sure. No excuses for Juan Allegri, Ben, is there?
Nah, I'm the same thing. You know, actually, at the time, from the angle we had, I didn't think it was as bad until I watched the highlights back, and I did the same thing. I was like, God, he really has just thrown himself down, and you don't really see the angle either. It's what Ross said in terms of, he could have just shot, like, just have a shot and go. Like, you're 4-0 up, there's no point in trying. It's exactly that. Maybe if it's 0-0 and it's the last 10 minutes, I would have totally got going down to try and win a pen. Even if you get sent off, it's probably worth the risk. There's absolutely no need. You can tell he's obviously got that wee bit of Colombian in him. Very cool. It's what you guys mentioned. It kind of reminds me of Morelos a wee bit in that sense. You can tell he's maybe a wee bit hot-headed. Even with his goal celebration, he went about 35 yards back in the pitch and ended up celebrating with Colin. I just thought, this guy's nuts.
That was a bit of a random one. Cole Donalds is like giving him a talking to. It was a bit mental.
I didn't really understand that either. You can tell there's talent in there. Like, the goal he scored, the header was brilliant, right under the corner. No chance to keep it.
His hold up play, and he's a player that loves to play with his back to goal. And I love to see a player that does that. Shout out to our pal Danny, however, who messaged us and said it's a one match ban for him. Like that. So shout out to Danny on that one. Good to see, obviously, Hendo getting on the score sheet. He's really coming into his own. We've talked about him over the last couple of weeks. And that centre-half pairing, you know, if you have defensive problems, who'd you call, Ross?
Has to be Cole Donaldson.
Exactly. So, you know, the two of them at the back have been absolutely solid. And that's another clean sheet. And they're certainly piling up. As a defensive unit as a whole, you know, we look good. And again, that just goes to show that Sean Mackey can't get into that side. Brad Mackay, who started off the season flying as well, can't get back into that side. What have you made of Falkirk defensively, Ben?
I think recently they've been brilliant actually. I think it's probably one of the most impressive parts of the team. Especially what you guys were mentioning. When they first made the signings of guys like Cole Donaldson, immediately obviously had a good time at Dunfermline, but immediately I thought back to kind of Dundee United days and things like that. And I mean, I've got a few fans that are Dundee United fans and they think he's the worst player in the world. And I was like, I'm not sure about this one. I'll see what he's like. And then obviously you get injured and things like that, and I was like, this is typical Falkirk, this guy couldn't barely play. But he's turned out to be a colossus. He's been absolutely fantastic. And I think Liam Henderson's just coming into that kind of role now in terms of his fitness is at that level where he can last 90 minutes and look like a decent player. Even I can remember the game against Dundee at Dens, but obviously he was playing in an unfair permission, but I just thought that he's nowhere near being match fit to be in this team. But they've really stepped up in the past couple of weeks. They've just turned a switch almost, and they're just these ball-playing defenders in League One that are colossal at the back, don't let anything go past them, but at the same time, both of them can ping a 30-40-yard pass across the pitch and put it straight to somebody like Aidan Nesbitt's feet. I think they've been brilliant, and the other player I'd pick out, Leon McCann. Last season, I can remember speaking to him a few times, and he couldn't get into the team at points under M. Sheeran and Martin Rennie. And I remember I asked him, I said, look, I've seen Airdrie a couple of times when you were there, and I thought you were the best fullback in League One by a country mile. And I said, how has this happened that you kind of get a game? And he wasn't really sure either. Obviously, partly form on him, partly just not being chosen. But I think this season he's obviously got his chance and took it. And he's kind of proven that he is one of the best fullbacks in this league by far. He's
undroppable. He's undroppable then now, isn't he?
And yeah. Sometimes it's on his left foot when he should just pass it to his right. But out with that, there's not a fault in him. Attacking wise, brilliant. Defensively, brilliant. Puts in a shift. He's got a great engine on him as well. I think he's been one of the best players this season by far. He just offers so much to the team. I think if he was to drop out the side and someone else was to come in, you'd notice a real difference.
Yeah, interesting.
I agree. I think I know we speak about this almost weekly just now, but the defence, you just wouldn't tamper with it. Cole and Big Liam at centre half, you're not gonna shoehorn Mackie in there for the sake of it. Likewise at left back, you just can't drop Liam McCann, and he's almost an unsung hero as well. But like young Finn Yates is just you couldn't, even if Williamson kind of got back off his sunbed or whatever he's doing these days, I just wouldn't even put him back in the team just now. I genuinely wouldn't, until such a time as he signs another right back that's not Williamson, I would just keep playing Yates there because I think he's holding his own.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be interested. I wonder what the current situation is with Williamson, because it'll be interesting to see, because we've not really heard much on it over the last couple of weeks, so I don't know how far out he is and what's going on there. I've got to shout out to our pals over at the Blue Toon podcast, who I was on their podcast last week. They actually messaged us and said it should have been 6 or 7. If you had a proper number 9, you guys cruised that. Best I've seen Falkirk play in a couple of years. So that's coming from our opposition. So that's good to hear. And I have to say, another big shout out to the Airdrie podcast, the OTL podcast, only the only podcast, who messaged us and pointed out this, from which had been picked up from Sky Sports, is that it's been renamed the Colombo Derby, Peterhead versus Falkirk, because in Sky Sports they ran it as Peter Falk, which is obviously Colombo. So you're probably too young to understand that, Ben, but you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's now because Peterhead versus Falkirk is now the Colombo Derby. Just one more thing. My wife, she's a big fan of Falkirk, my wife. So, Colombo Derby, love that.
Nice.
Let's hear then from the manager, Mr. John McGlynn, who caught up with Lewis.
John, a professional performance today, pretty dominant from the start.
Yeah, very dominant performance, yeah, professional, yeah, but also free-flowing, you know. I think that, with the greatest respect, I know Jim's got a lot of injuries, and so they've been shaping up this 5-4-1, and they get into a low block, and it's very difficult to break down. However, you know, within the first opening couple of minutes, we had a great chance. Callum, for me, should score. And not long after it, then Roman has a great opportunity to score as well. So two great opportunities. And then it became difficult to break them down because they're very compact and very tight. And it's difficult for most teams in these situations to break down that Kenny 5-4-1 formation. So we had to be patient, we had to keep plugging away, and, you know, again, we get an opportunity, a great opportunity, Roman had a, you know, a second opportunity to score 1v1 with the goalkeeper, and we didn't take them. But thankfully, in a situation where Peterhead were attacking, the ball lands with Nicky, and as earlier in the season, he finds a great ball into the channel, this time for Amaran, who's got after it, got into the ball and played into Aidan Nisbet, who finds Callum in the box, which was clever, and it leaves Callum with, you know, an opportunity to score a kind of like one he's not going to miss. And thankfully we got that goal, because obviously getting to half time, if it's 0-0, you know, they probably take a lot more belief from it, you know, and just getting that goal, you know, 5 minutes before half time, it's a kind of blow for them. And start the second half, two great opportunities again, two great big opportunities to put the game to bed, again both for Callum and Juan, two big opportunities, didn't take them. And but thankfully, you know, we made substitutions, and both Juan and Kai made an instant impact. Kai putting the ball in for Juan to score with a header, and then Kai with his shot that comes off the bar and ricochets off the goalkeeper and goes in. And then, you know, I've been saying that we're going to get goals from all areas of the pitch, and thankfully Liam Henderson came up with a headed goal from a corner. So delighted that we scored four goals away from home. It was an entertaining game, you know. Thanks very much to every Falkirk fan that came up here today. Hopefully, you know, you're pleased with what you've seen. You go back down the road with the 3 points and a very, very convincing win, a very good performance, and we move on.
John McGlynn must be a journalist's dream, Ben, because you ask him one question and he goes on for about 3 minutes and you just get all your quotes from that.
Nah, you're not kidding. He's been brilliant to work with. Do you know, see, to be fair, I must admit, every manager I've worked with so far, like Paul Sheehan was brilliant to work with, really nice, took a call anytime, that kind of thing. Same with Martin Rennie as well, even Kenny Miller when he did a few games. But you can tell John's just a level above in terms of just how long he's been in the game and what he knows, and he's kind of football nouse. Every time you speak to him, you basically hear what you'd imagine he'd say on the game exactly. He kind of knows, he knows what to say. Even the kind of fans plug, I don't know if you've noticed that, every single time he does the interview, he always mentions the fans every single game. Yeah. You can tell it's a genuine, you can tell how much he genuinely appreciates. And I think that really was one of the big reasons he came to Falkirk, was the size of the support and knowing just the reception he could get if he could get the team playing football. But no, he's brilliant to talk to. He's a good laugh as well. He's always got a wee joke in there. That sometimes catches you off guard.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of comedy guy. He strikes me as a very serious guy. So it's nice to hear that, because obviously when you hear his interviews with Lewis, he's quite serious.
The first time I met him, I was exactly that. I was like, right, this is the type of guy, I'm not going to ask any daft questions here. I said, I'm going to toe the line, just ask about the game, don't go into anything else. But no, he's honestly full of jokes. He's such a lovely guy. You can tell why he's a good manager, because you can tell people would want to play for him. Just from to him every week for 5 minutes, you totally get the buy-in from the players and why him and Paul Smith are so highly rated in Scottish football and not just at Falkirk.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good to hear that. He talked to Ross about the low block, which is good to see that, you know, Peterhead, you know, had a lot of players out yesterday and went for that kind of low block system, which is unlike, you know, Jim McInally doesn't usually kind of play that way. But it's good to see that even though they played a low block, that we were able still to get through it and score the four goals. And like John said, it should have been more.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's that type of game that over the course of the last few seasons, we would have either, it would have been a 0-0 snowfest, or we would have lost it. So I think it's testament to the work that he's put in. The players are, as Ben's just said, the players are fighting for him. They're working for him really, really hard. The football they're playing at times is phenomenal. I do think we are the best football team in the league. I know I can't say I've seen everybody yet, because obviously we've not played Alloa. That's the team that we've not played yet. But I do think we are the sort of best football team currently in the division. And I know I said this to you last week, John, but I think once we get to the top of this league, and we will, I think we'll stay there, because the confidence is so high. Ben's just mentioned the fans there as well. The fans are coming out. probably not the biggest crowd we've ever had up at Peterhead. But this Saturday, I think there'll be a huge crowd up at Montrose. Montrose is always a favourite day out for the Bairns fans. The supporters' buses will be full. That'll be going up there as well. So, no, looking forward to it.
No, absolutely. Let's get a view from the supporters that were up there. Grant kicks us off with says, the way we've been playing of recent, someone was going to be on the end of a drubbing. If we had been a bit more conical, it would have been double figures.
Absolutely. And it could have been. It could have been. Honestly, I know it sounds silly, but had we scored 9 or 10 goals, it wouldn't have been a shock based on that yesterday. Donald says, Burrows got pace, but can he finish? Juan looks more dangerous. Pity he got 2 stupid bookings when we're winning 4-0. My man of the match was Nesbitt. He was all over the park and played with commitment and intensity. The dafty was Juan for 2 stupid bookings and now misses Montrose.
So yeah, it does. I mean, I think it's been a bit harsh, Donald, there on the finishing. You know, he did have some very gilt-edged chances, particularly that one when it was 0-0 and it kind of got trapped between his feet where he was only like 2 yards out. But I think Burrow, you know, I think he just had a bit of an off day. But again, like you say, he caused problems and he will keep doing that, I think. Grahamston says, a couple of shocking early misses meant the game was still a contest until the subs, theoretically at least. Still comprehensive though. Hats off to John and Paul. Something special is brewing.
Absolutely. We've got Gordon says, brilliant from us today. Think that Kennedy has to start now, just as we mentioned earlier. Thought McGlynn would have had a real headache as both Burrell and Allegra were brilliant, right up until the latter beat the keeper and decided to die for a penalty rather than score an open goal. Don't know if it was quite an open goal, but he definitely had other opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, it does leave us a bit short with options up front for Saturday. I mean, who have you got on the bench? I mean, Pierce Carroll, I noticed, wasn't on the bench there on Saturday.
Well, do you know, I never noticed that, actually. That's a good shout.
You could play, yeah. I guess you could put Morrison up through the middle or Nesbitt up through the middle. So that's an option there if needs be against Montrose. I mean, I think...
Well, you've got young Finlay Malcolm there as well, who I know has not really had any game time, but you never know. Do you know what? If you don't give him a chance, you're never going to know. So we'll see.
You can certainly jiggle the team about to if needs be if Burrows to pick up.
Well, Gary Oliver could.
Gary Oliver could move well, back so. Up in focal point, but he's done really well in midfield. Gary Oliver actually. So
yeah, no, he has.
Fair enough. Max, his Falkirk vlog. Check that out, by the way, if you get the chance. He says, great result. Good to see us scoring lots of goals. Good to see Kennedy playing well. And it was never a red card for Juan Allegri, says Max. I don't know if anyone agrees with that, Max. I'll be honest with you.
I don't know. It was Max standing outside the ground at that point. Was
he? I think he might have been. Check out Max's vlog. He puts in a lot of hard work for that. So if you get the chance, go and check that out.
Diego says, we need to learn how to create our chances. Kai Kennedy looks like a bowler and Allegri is a more direct threat than Burrell. But Burrell's pace and creativity makes him the better player. I don't know if I would say he's more direct. I think Burrell, the first thing Burrell does is get the ball and run a goal. You can't really get more direct than that, can you?
Allegri does like to go direct. What do you reckon, Ben?
It's a tough one. I get the point. Even just thinking about both of them, I probably prefer Burrell, I think, over Allegri. Just for what he offers, but I do get that point. They're kind of interesting players, actually. I think Lan's interesting because you're saying about back to goal, but he does like to take on the ball as well and kind of a bit defender. He has got a wee bit of everything, Lan, and he's actually quite fast as well. He's got that kind of stocky build, but he's quite a fast guy as well. But no, I think Burrell's the best in terms of that by far, and that's exactly what he's about. As soon as he gets the ball, you just think, like, something's going to happen here because he's going to get by the guy in front of him, and it doesn't really matter what the guy in front of him does because he's just too fast.
Ross says 4-0 flattered them, some die from Allegri, HMS piss the league.
love it. And last but not least, Pete says, dominant from start to finish. Roll on, Montrose.
Indeed. Right, I don't think it's going to be really hard this week to work out the Falkirk Daft here, so we'll get to that in a minute. But Falkirk Daft rated, Ross, who are you going for?
Do you know, it's a tough one this week again. Do you know, I'm going to go for Aidan Nesbitt. I thought he played really, really well. He's creating chances. He's working so, so hard. I know we've said this before, if his finishing was better, well, he probably would still be at Celtic if he could finish. But he's doing really, really well. So I'm going to go Aidan Nesbitt.
Like you say, the number 7 assists now for the season for Aidan Nesbitt, which is good, good numbers for him. Ben, what are you reckoning?
Funnily enough, I was going to go for the same guy, Aidan Nesbitt. And actually, when I had a look at the stats and stuff earlier on today, before coming on the podcast, the guy I was going to mention was him. I think he goes a wee bit unnoticed. He just works his arse off, is the best way to describe him. He does so much work off the ball that I don't think you see. Even watching the highlights back again, like I didn't notice, for example, the third goal that goes in to Kennedy with a great strike. I didn't realise at the time it was Nesbitt that laid the ball off to him. And he's just in that perfect position in the box to take the 1-2 and lay it off to him. And it's an inch-perfect pass. I think he's been brilliant. And it was the type of performance on Saturday that you can see why he's been so highly rated in the past. And he's clearly got that ability. He's been excellent. So I think I'd go for Aidan Nesbitt as well.
There you go, Aidan, all around. Right, Falkirk Daft. Do I even have to ask this question? Who's the Falkirk Dafty?
It's going to have to be Johnny Joy, isn't it?
Johnny Joy, isn't it? Johnny Joy's getting the Falkirk Dafty. You agree, Ben, presumably?
Unfortunately, I think it was a bit daft, so...
Yeah. Poor old Johnny Joy. Gutted. He'll be back and he'll be stronger, I'm sure. But I just, you know, because he was out that wee time and now he's back out again. It's a bit annoying. But hey ho, we'll wait to see the return of Johnny, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So, Ben, thanks very much for coming on. We look forward to reading your match report in the Herald this week.
Brian, thanks for having us, guys. That was really enjoyable. You're doing a smashing job.
Thank you very much. See, coming from a proper journalist, Ross, that feels good, doesn't it?
It does feel good. It does, because obviously we're just throwing mud and stuff sticks.
Hey, listen, by the way, I've got a journalism degree. I'll have you know, I've got a degree in journalism, so it's not just that bad. But Ben, thanks very much for coming on. And remember, if you want to be a pundit on Falkirk Daft, you can do that. Just drop us a DM on Twitter or Facebook, or drop us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Right, we're back to the big question this week, Ross, and this was suggested by our friend Bairn Supremacy on Twitter. He says, what is the funniest chant you've ever heard at a Falkirk match, right? So he dropped us a DM on this, and he goes on to tell the story. Strangest thing, I think, was, and I could be getting this wrong, but I do remember the Eliab's boys singing, "Rock the Shopper with a BK Whopper." Never understood that.
It was BQ. The
B&Q
Mopper,
right?
No, it was B&Q Mopper.
With a BQ Mopper, right? Never understood that. Another weird one that I doubt many folk will remember was Stevie Cody, Geez a Bodie.
I remember that one.
So there's a few for the, obviously, the Elliott's boys. I certainly remember Stan at Brockville when we were in the choir, and just they were constantly coming up with stuff that, because he used to hear us in the choir. And Bairn Supremacy goes on. Lastly, the one that still makes me laugh to this day, back in the mid-90s, Dundee United signed two Argentinian boys. One was called Walter Rojas, so pronounced Rojas. The week we signed them, we played up in Danadice. I distinctly remember this Falkirk boy singing to the tune of "Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Don't Cry For Me, Walter Rojas. I know you are a fanny. You are a fanny. You are a fanny." With a massive emphasis on the word fanny. I still sing it to this day when I hear the original, so thank you to that person, whoever they were. Don't cry. I'm just trying to think. "Don't cry for me, Walter Rogers. I know you are a fanny. You are a fanny. You are a fanny. You are a fanny."
That's a good one, isn't it?
Absolutely bell. Any you can remember, that. Ross, off the top of your head.
That's class. Oh, mate. Do you know, there's been a few. Obviously, if I think back to a particular night up at Ross County, I can't quite remember the season, but I just obviously we talked about like the Posh Spice songs and some of the chants that were made for not even just the players. There was one for our no longer chairman, and obviously he's passed away now, but Campbell Christie, and it was something about Bush Spice's pish being misty, and it was the most horrendous chant I've ever heard. So there's been a few belters over the years, but I think that one was good.
So the ones that I remember, I just remember that season, it was the Kilmarnock away, last game of the season, I think it was when we just signed McNamara, Neil McCann and Lee Bullen.
Oh, yeah.
And just remember us being in the pub before it. And I don't know if this was in the ground as well. So it was like, we just started making up songs for those. So it was, oe, 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 Neil McCann, can. Which is a bit rubbish, but the best one was the Macarena, the McNamara, and it just went ding da da ding da da ding McNamara, ding da da ding da da ding McNamara, ding da ding da ding McNamara, hey McNamara. And then we made
that. Was proper,
there was a chant for Michael Higden as well, which went to the tune of the Simpsons movie, was big at that time, went to the tune of Spider Hig.
I do. I remember that one well.
Horrendous.
Spiderhead. God, that Spiderhead. Yeah, and obviously there was an infamous one of a guy in our group, Mr. Alan Harkins,
who had a punch on for older ladies.
For elderly women, yeah. I don't think we can go through that.
If you fancy hearing the Alan Harkins chant, let us know next time you see us at Elliot's, and we'll give you a rendition of it. A couple coming in. I put this up quite late on today, so there's a few coming on. Ross, close your ears for this one. Will says ginger hair is unacceptable. I remember singing that a few times. I believe you actually sang it yourself a few times, Ross.
I think I might have had a hat on at the time, probably to Neil Lennon or something like that. If that's Will Lang, I'll be having ones with Will Lang.
If it was, right, okay.
Yeah, no, I do. I remember, I think I may have chanted that Neil Lennon at some point.
Yeah, and Chiggs weighs in as well. It says, Morton away late 80s or early 90s, the sub on the red-haired midfielder, second half. Falkirk fans chant that for the next 15 minutes or so, and the guy had an absolute mare. Get subbed off again with Falkirk fans cheering. Even as a teen, I felt bad for the guy.
Oh, dear. Jesus. Oh, that would have been brutal. Who else have we got? So we've got Andrew. I remember this as well. Andrew was in the Hoosty Hardcore, as it was at the time, and none of our songs made any sense whatsoever. However, we always enjoyed the old Elliot's chant, as we've just mentioned, created by at 1876 Monkey. Of Rock the Shop with the B&Q Mop, because of course that made perfect sense.
Let's bring it back. Let's bring that back. Elliot's boys, if you listen, bring that chant back to the South Stand. Yeah, come on, yeah, you can make it happen. Yeah. Graham says, obviously the fantastic, classy defender that we used to have, Cedric Your Ass, with the chant, of course, around that time was, Cedric shows your ass. Cedric shows your ass. Class.
Perfect. So that's a yes. Greg says Falkirk fans welcome the news of the opposition keeper's schizophrenia diagnosis with a heartfelt round of there's only two Andy Gorhams.
Oh, you wouldn't get away with that these days. Jesus.
No, you wouldn't.
Paul says the classic, which we, our supporters group is named after this chant, actually, your supporters group being Posh Spices. What have we put in the programme for that, by the way? Because we did, it's just Posh Spice supporters group, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, one of the
sponsored
players.
Yep. So we've got Paul reminds of the chant. Ooh, Posh Spice is a slapper. She loves the fucking Bobby, but when she's shagging Beckham, she thinks of Thomas Scobie. Class.
It was the original and best one. It was. And then last but not least, so far with Gregor, I remember this one too. He's white, he's blue, he shat inside and shoe, Ian McCall. Ian McCall.
We can definitely say that is true, because Ian McCall confirmed it to one of our listeners while we were having a pee beside him in the garage in Glasgow. So yeah, definitely. Listen, we'll keep this open for another week or so, because we were a bit quick getting on to it this week. So if you want to give us your funny Falkirk songs from what you can remember from back in the day, do that, please. Drop us a message on our socials, or get us at falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Ross, we don't have actually a preview guest this week. My friend Mark, who was on earlier in the season, who was a Montrose supporter, he's unavailable, and he reached out to the rest of the boys at Larter's Tash, but they're all shiting it and they're not coming on the podcast this week.
Poor stuff. They must be nervous, John, because have you not got a bet with Mark as well about Falkirk finishing above Montrose as well, haven't you?
Yes, aye, exactly. If Falkirk do finish above Montrose, I shall be getting bought my season. Next season, I'll be getting my strip bought by Mark, and vice versa. So we're okay. They were just above them at the moment. We went above them there at the weekend. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, we're neck and neck, I think. Yeah,
we're above them. And
I think it's a goal difference for us. Yeah.
Yeah, so, good stuff. So fingers crossed we can keep it going. So I need a victory for Falkirk at the weekend. Obviously, Montrose there, they've picked up a bit of form. They had two losses back-to-back, but they beat Clyde away there at the weekend, and the Airdrie at home during the week there as well. I noticed that Rory McAllister was on the bench at the weekend there, and I reached out to Mark and messaged him, saying, why was Rory McAllister on the bench? Apparently, you know, he played midweek, so they're just, I think, picking and choosing how they use him. But he obviously came off the bench at the weekend there and scored. Rory McAllister's always going to be a threat, and Montrose as a team have been such a bogey team for us.
They have, but do you know what? They've deservedly played... Obviously, it's in part down to how poor we've been, but on occasion, they've been one of the best football teams in this league that's played against us. So I'm hoping it's going to be us that's going to be playing the attractive, open, attacking football rather than them on Saturday. As you said, Rory McAllister, God, that guy loves a goal against Falkirk. So we've kind of kept him out quite well in recent months. So fingers crossed. We can do so again, because I don't think he got much of a sniff when he was at Cove against us. And did he play against us at the start of the season? I can't.
Yeah, he did. He just signed that week and played against us. I remember that, and he had a decent enough game. Held up the ball well. I mean, he's always going to be a threat, Rory McAllister. Always going to be a threat.
Yeah.
But again,
he's a big lad.
Yeah, as you say though, Ross, they have players, good players over the park, Montrose, you know, and Stuart Petrie has got them, you know, had them playing some very good football across the last couple of seasons, and certainly against us, and you know, they've just been such a thorn in our side.
They have, and do you know, they've got an aging back line though. I forgot the boy's name. He was at Dundee United. Is it Sean Dillon? He played really well against us actually at that first game in end of July, start of August. But we've now got a far, far pacier front line, and I think if we put some danger balls over the top there, I think we could open them up. I really do. I can see us scoring a couple of goals again on Saturday, minimum. Yeah. I can see us scoring a couple of goals.
I think Burrell will give them all sorts of problems. Like you're talking about Sean Dillon there. I think Burrell will give them issues at the back. But we'll wait and see. Ross, you're hoping to make it up. Unfortunately, again, I'm going to miss out. But hopefully you should make it up. What do you think the score's going to be?
I'm going to go optimistic. I think we'll keep another clean sheet, and I do think we'll score a couple of goals. So I'm going to go 2-0 Burns. What are you thinking?
2-0 Burns. I'll go, I think we might drop a goal. Do you know what? 3-1, fuck it. 3-1. 3-1 Falkirk. I think we'll maybe we could go this time round. But yeah, I fancy us for 3-1. I think Burrell will give them get a couple, add to the Burrow collection there. Actually, the bookies have got is they've got Montrose at 13-10, they've got the draw at 11-5, and they've got Falkirk favourites at 7-4. Just so we'll wait and see. I'm just looking down the other games at the weekend. Dunfermline, I've got FC Edinburgh at home, top of the table clash. Yeah. A wee draw there
would be
quite. I'd be quite happy with a little draw there. That would be quite nice. Looking again. Yeah. Alloa, Airdrie are away to Alloa. Queen of the South have not really shown up as of yet, have they?
No, not really. I don't think they're going to trouble top of the top couple of positions in the league this year. I'm still surprised that Edinburgh are there, to be honest, but I don't know if they'll fall away. I think it'll end up between us and Dunfermline, which is just, that's what you want anyway, and that's what we want. Obviously, we're on top. Top, not them on top, but I think that's a big game at East End Park. Yeah, a draw would be absolutely beautiful. A wee cheeky draw or an Alloa win would be nice over Airdrie on Saturday. And obviously, if we can get the 3 points up at Montrose, what a weekend that'll be. And then it would set us up really, really nicely for a couple of home games next week, the Tuesday of which I think we're going to make a wee night of, John.
Absolutely looking forward to that. Absolutely. School holidays are here, so it means we can go to the pub on a Tuesday. Fantastic. So that's us this week for Falkirk Daft. Slightly different this week. Ross is gallivanting out and about with his iPhone this week. So apologies if the sound quality is not as good as it normally is, but we'll be back to normal over the next couple of weeks. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, you can watch us on YouTube as well. Leave a review on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, because you can get this podcast absolutely everywhere. If you want to follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, you can just search for Falkirk Daft. Get us followed. Get the chat on there, especially Twitter. That's where we do most of our work. So get on there, give us a follow if you could. That would be brilliant. And remember, if you want to jump on our Discord, that sounds very posh. Our Discord channel, you can get on that, join the Falkirk chat on there where all the boys and girls are on there having chat about the Falkirk and the podcast. You can jump on that. All the links are below. We always like to have a sponsor on this podcast. That would be nice, wouldn't it? I had a couple of sponsors again, thanks to all the guys at Forth Valley Dental Care who sponsored recently. We've got a couple of sponsors coming on board soon. But if you'd love to get involved with the show, we'd love to. And like you say, we put a percentage back into the club as well, and the rest of it covers the air production costs. If you could do that, that'd be fantastic. Drop us an email, please. falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. And that's all the sales stuff done now, Ross. We get to look forward to Montrose. It's an away trip that everybody loves. Just a shame Big Wan won't be with us on that one.
It is, John. It's a brilliant day out up at Montrose. The Burns faithful will be up there in big numbers, I reckon. And it wasn't as big on Saturday. There was a few of the regular supporters buses couldn't go up for various reasons, so that maybe had a bit of an impact. But as Joel McGlynn said, fair play to the Burns that did go up. We always make sure we're heard. And I think there'll be a real big crowd there on Saturday. Shout out, John. Actually, I know we're just about to finish, but it was great to see that looks like some of the younger fans are going to do a display at the Dunfermline game in a few weeks' time. And I think they're very close to hitting their sort of target of 1,300 players. So for them to have raised that in just a few days, that's brilliant as well. So I'm sure that'll add to the occasion.
I look forward to seeing what they've come up with. It should be interesting. So we'll wait and see with bated breath what that is coming November the 5th. Hopefully a good few Bairns wins in between there and now. Brilliant. Listen, thank you very much for listening as ever. And Ross, let's leave with the message which we always like to leave on.
Expect the unexpected, John, as always.